Right, well, I'm Tony Lyons, and it's the 3rd of April 2013, and I'm going to be interviewing Simon Hughes, MP. Simon, could I start by asking you when your connections with Southwark actually began? I mean, does it go back before you became an MP?
Firstly, thank you very much for the opportunity of talking to you, and thank you for continuing the tradition of an active and vibrant and on the ball and relevant and topical pensioners group in Southwark. My father was born in South London. My parents were married in London, but they moved away soon after they were married to the North of England with my father's job. I came back to London when I finished my 3 years at university to study for law in 1974, and my first time in Southwark and in my constituency was in that year. I didn't move in permanently straight away, but I came to stay with a friend who was a medical student at Guy's Hospital and stayed with her in Searles Road, which is just off the Old Kent Road. And then I permanently moved in 1977 and into Coburg Road. And then I moved across the Old Kent Road in January 1983 to Linton Road, and I've lived there ever since.
And what was your first encounter with Southwark Pensioners Centre, SPAG and Pensioners Forum?
My first encounter with pensioners as a group and organisation and an issue was when, before Southwark Pensioners Centre and Pensioners Forum got going, when pensioner issues were nonetheless on the agenda of the council, and both before I was elected, I stood as a GLC candidate, I stood as a borough council candidate in 81 and 82, and pensioner issues were relevant then. The council was always dealing with them, and I went to meetings in the old Southwark Town Hall. And I was very conscious, before I was elected, that the pensioners' movement, the movement for the state pension, began in my constituency, just up the Warworth Road. So I was very conscious of pension history, and obviously as a Liberal and a Welshman, very conscious of the creation of the state pension by the Asquith government with Lloyd George, and very conscious of the Beveridge work. William Beveridge, who obviously became a Liberal MP and a Liberal member of the House of Lords. I came regularly to meetings in the old Crampton Street office. I then came regularly to meetings in the Camberwell Green office, which has remained over the years. I went to very large numbers of pensioners' forums at the Town Hall. The other big memory is, of course, in those days, the sort of leader of the pensioners in Southwark, increasingly as he came to retirement from all other things, was Jack Jones. And I was privileged to get to know him really quite well. And I hope he would say, although we came from very different political traditions, and obviously I was a young whippersnapper compared to him, learnt a lot from him, respected him hugely, and supported him and the campaign whenever I could during his lifetime.
Have you felt over the years that the Southwark pensioners organisations could have been more effective, could have been organised more efficiently than they have been?
I thought you might have asked, do you think they've been very effective? And the answer is, I think they have been very effective first in two ways, in holding elected representatives to account, by which I mean the MPs and the leader of the council and the person responsible on the council at any one time for pensioners' issues. And you have regularly quizzed us and taken no prisoners, I think is the phrase, not held back. I think all of the MPs in the borough, the three MPs over the years, have come to be subject to that scrutiny. And of course, at election time, you've almost every election, I think, you've had an election meeting with the principal candidates or the parties represented. You've had it over all the council elections. And you have campaigned vigorously on some local and some national issues. The national issue, which I hope I'm accurate in saying, seemed to me to the biggest campaigning issue from the time the Pensioners Centre was open and Pensioners Forum really got going, was to try to restore the pension link with the average wage, which was broken by the Mrs. Thatcher Conservative government. It was only when my colleagues and I entered into government in 2010 that we restored the link, and I was very clear that having campaigned so long and supported you for so long and having criticised the Tories and criticised Labour for so long, not to then deliver would have been very dishonourable. You came up to Parliament, you lobbied us regularly on that and many other things. Could you have been more effective? I felt many years ago that pensioners' efforts were being diffused in a way that reduced their effectiveness, bluntly. And I think I shared with you, and I came and spoke my mind at meetings, that actually having a Southwark Pensioners Centre and having the Southwark Pensioners Action Group and having Southwark Pensioners Forum, although they had slightly different roles, actually meant a lot of effort went into admin and organisation. and the numbers were therefore smaller than they could have been and would have been if that had been under one umbrella. So I think the movement missed a trick in not coming together and having possibly a simple structure a long time ago with one headquarters base to engage with the council and the MPs, and then a regular meeting of pensioners, not necessarily for that purpose. I think you would have been more effective as one organisation. I initiated the idea of the Pensioners Parliament, and I hope will continue to grow and flourish and prosper as a way of engaging with MPs and other politicians. I understand why it happened.
Given that your constituency covers only part of the borough of Southwark, does that make it difficult in any way to deal with borough-wide issues? Do you in practice have to liaise with your fellow MPs for Southwark?
Yes, you're right. Ever since I've been the MP, I've represented what I call the northern two-fifths of the London Borough of Southwark, the whole of the old borough of Bermondsey, and most of the old borough of Southwark, and a bit of the old borough of Campbell. If you're talking about representing individuals, no, because obviously the way Parliament works is we all look after the people in our territory, as it were, and we try not to cross over the constituency boundaries, because otherwise that's against the parliamentary convention, and it would be a nonsense. If individual lives in my patch, I do that. If it's a pensioners group, if it's, for example, an Alzheimer's group meeting in my area, or if it's a group dealing with older people with mental health issues meeting in my area, I'll deal with that. For Southwark Pensions Centre and SPAG and the Pensioners Forum, I think we've all three of us taken the view that they're sort of extraterritorial activities, and we can cross, as I've done today, across my boundary to meet you just in Harriet Harman's constituency, but without feeling that I'm sort of trespassing into her territory. So we all, if it's a Southwark Pensioners Centre meeting, if it's a SPAG meeting, then we all understand we may be wanting to go or attend. But we do come together on things. We have differences, but we try to work together on issues that I hope people think are in the national interest. So, for example, the area where we've worked most closely together over the years is on National Health Service issues, on trying to make sure we have better services at King's and Guy's and St Thomas's and the Maudsley. Big campaign, the three MPs, Harman, Tessa, Jowell and I, to reduce waiting lists and waiting times, people on trolleys, improve quality of care for older people. I work with Kate Hoey, who's the MP for Vauxhall, on Guy's and Thomas's care of the elderly. We've also worked together as MPs on things like policing matters and law and order matters. But obviously we have party political disputes if it's an issue about restoring the link with earnings or the level of the pension or whatever else it might be.
You mentioned Jack Jones. Are there other particular people over the years that you've been particularly impressed with in the pensioners movement?
Well, he stands head and shoulders, I think, as a national figure who settled in Southwark as the person who became associated with Southwark Pensioners, being the voice of Southwark Pensioners. There have been a lot of other people, and it would be invidious to name individual names, some of whom obviously sadly are no longer with us today. But I'd sort of subdivide them into two groups. There have been very good champions of pensioners who have been elected representatives. So I would take Charlie Cherrell as a Labour former councillor and mayor, and I'd take Anne Yates as a Liberal Democrat former councillor and mayor, who epitomise people who were always there for pensioners and campaigning and so on. And then there have been people who haven't had any elected office at all and who've been active on committee members and chairs of SPAG and the Pensioners Centre. And the good news is there have always been a succession of those. So I'm not going to select other than say that Jack was the preeminent Southwark Pensioners Centre leader. And people like you, Tony, I have to say, have been wonderfully loyal. Lots of good people who are active well beyond their retirement age. The oldest pensioner in Britain is a constituent of mine, Grace Jones. She's 113. Can I add her in my list of preeminent pensioners? Because she always has a go at me when necessary. She's been around longer than anybody else in the whole of the country.
You mentioned the restoring of the earnings link for pensions. Have there been other issues where you feel that the work that the Southwark Pensioners have been doing has been really effective?
Yes, I mean, I think that as well as the Pensioners Centre and SPAG, the pensioners movement in Southwark includes places like the Southwark Irish Pensioners Project, which is based in my constituency and has been for a long time. And they and the pensioners movement provide places where people in retirement can come together and exchange views and catch up on opinion and be briefed and have assistance with benefits and fuel advice and so on. So it's been very effective in helping individuals, giving advice to individuals, informing people, making sure people know their rights. That's been a really valuable, friendly way of doing it. It's not the council doing it, it's you doing it. The other campaign over the years that has been fought is really for help with fuel costs. Obviously, to make sure people didn't go cold and had proper insulation and things has been very important. And I hope by the end of this parliament, there will be the decent state pension for the next generation, because you know that the citizens' pension idea has been agreed to in principle, and that would give a basic pension of 140 odd pounds a week and be really helpful, particularly to women who have lost out often because of their non-contribution, because they've been bringing up children or caring. I hope we'll be better off as a result.
Yes, that's the single tier pension, isn't it?
Yes.
You're referring to. What some of us feel about that is that it would have been much fairer if the existing generation of pensioners had been included in it.
The reason why that hasn't been done is simply a financial reason. People who are existing pensioners are in the present system, and this is creating a system for the next generation of pensioners. I mean, the decision that's been made for the current generation is to make sure that pensioners are exempted from as many of the difficulties of current stringency as possible. And there's been a pretty robust government view that pensioners are not affected by the housing benefit changes, and the pensioners have not had their TV licence taken away and their bus pass affected and all those things. So there's been as much protection given to existing pensioners as possible, and everything that's been given as a right has been kept as a right.
Do you think there are particular ways in which pensioners differ from younger people in terms of their priorities, their ability to get their views across?
There's one self-interested difference, and there's one unselfish difference. The self-interested difference is that people worry as they get older about how they're going to be cared for and the cost of their care and not wanting to be a burden. The selfless difference is that people really pin their hopes on their children and their grandchildren, and certainly on the next generation. And that's different from a young person who doesn't have much thought as to how they'll end up and how the finances will be working when they're 60, and isn't nearly as concerned about other people when they're 17 and 16 and 21. They're much more concerned about themselves. So that's the fundamental difference, I think. The other thing is that pensioners, by definition, have life experience, which is a price of inestimable value.
Have there been meetings of pensioners in Southwark, which you attended and which you particularly remember?
I can't remember a meeting where I got chased out of the room or got lynched, or I can't remember a meeting which ended in a riot. So I can't remember any meetings like that. I remember the first meeting of the Pensioners' Parliament in Portcullis House. I think that was significant. I remember the march we had, of which I've got the picture, which I think was important and significant, and the commemoration of the founding of the Pensions Campaign. I remember many lobbies in Westminster Hall. The one specific Pensions Campaign is to make sure that there is good quality home care for those who need it, and different people coming in on different days of the week at different times when you don't know who they are is not a way to be looked after. And the test for me is this something I would want for my parents or grandparents? And if the answer is no, then it's not good enough for anybody else's parents or grandparents. So good quality home care to support a good quality NHS and good quality family care.
Hear, hear. And thank you very much, Simon.
A pleasure, as always.